everybody, John Scott here. I just got a little thing called Cameo, so if you need a message to you or your sexy one,
I know, no. So I'm on this new website. It's called Cameo. It's kind of cool. I saw Brett Favre did it, so I wanted to copy Brett Favre. And what it is you can get me to send you a message. Doesn't matter what it is. Could be for your birthday, your bachelor party, or just a regular old hump day on Wednesday. If you want me to send you a message, check it out. I'd love to. I think you got to pay a little bit of money for it, but that's how, you know, put shoes on my baby's feet, put a smile on your face. Everybody's a winner. Check it out. Cameo. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode. Episode what, Larry? 25? 26, maybe?
Of season two? It's
15. 15 of... I didn't even know we were on season two. Congratulations to us. Welcome to episode 15, season two of Dropping the Gloves with John, Tim, and Larry. Thank you for listening. Glad you're here. We're doing an earlier episode this week just because what a weekend. Like, what a wild and crazy weekend we had in sports and in life in general. It was funny. I was coming in the office. We do our podcast in his web canopy. It's up on the second floor of this building, and there's a big mirror by the elevator when you walk in. And have you ever had this situation where you don't look at yourself in the mirror all day, and then you catch yourself and you're like, whoa,
damn,
I've been walking around all day looking like this. And I had that moment where I was pressed number two on my way up, and I caught a glimpse, and I was like, man, I do not look good.
I thought you were going to say the opposite.
No. I look very, like, just bad. And I'm like, I have this dark black hat on, and it doesn't make my gray hair any, it doesn't do it any favors.
I think you look great, John.
Thanks, Tim. But then it got me thinking, I do these events. Not all the time, but every couple of weeks I'll go and do a charity event or a hockey event or a speaking event. And I take selfies all the time with people. And sometimes it's after a game, I'm sweaty. Sometimes I'm not, you know, prepared. I'm not looking at the camera. And sometimes they show me the picture sometimes. And I would say a good 95% of the time, I hate the way I look. It's the opposite of the men's suits, you'll like the way you look. I guarantee it. I look at the pictures, I'm like, I hate the way I look. I guarantee it. I'm just pasty and fat-faced and just uncomfortable. And I think if someone takes a selfie of you, you should have the right to delete that picture.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's not a good portrayal of how I look. Maybe I am overconfident in my looks. And I'm just not, and I'm just like, they printed out a picture this weekend. It was a Hockey Helps the Homeless event. And you can take a picture. I took a picture with my team on the ice, and my team has the option to blow that picture up and frame it, and I'll sign it for like $60 or $70. And I would say a good 5 to 7 guys on my team blew that picture up, and I looked absolutely terrible. And I felt bad for the guys on the team. I was like, I'm sorry. It looked like...
This is the homeless charity, right?
Yeah, it was... I looked really bad.
Like, you're one of the people getting the
donations. I looked like I needed some help from Hockey Helps the Homeless. I just looked pasty, and like I was smiling, but I was just like, man, I am not a handsome... At that moment, I think I'm a decent-looking person, but I was like, man, oh, man, what's going on with my life these days? I'm like, how does my wife get into bed at night? Like, I look terrible. Like, it was just an eye-opening experience. And I just flashed back to that when I was coming up the elevator about, man, selfies. It's just one of the worst inventions, I think, that has happened with
do you flex in the mirror?
No, I don't. It's just one of those things where people catch you off guard. Let's take a picture. And you're like, you're moving. You're like, you don't want to, you know, be a jerk to them. Like, yeah. And then you don't realize the angle or the lighting or if I'm sweating or how's my hair. I have a receding hairline. I'm very self-conscious about it. And it's just, you know, there's just a whole bunch of things. Anyways, I just thought about that coming in. If you watch one of my fights, Alexander Bolduc, when I was in Minnesota, my first or second year, I think we were up 5-2 in Minnesota. He was an up and coming guy. He's like, let's go, let's go. I'm like, okay. And he takes his helmet off. And I'm like, well, I don't want to take my helmet off, obviously, because of my hairline. And he starts, you know, gesturing me, take your helmet off, take your helmet off. And I go, fine. I took it off. And before we started squaring up, I like brushed my hair to cover up my balding spots. Yeah. And everybody after the fight was like, oh, you were just not even worried about the fight. You fixed your hair. I'm like, no, I was more concerned about the people in the third deck checking out my bald spots that I had to give it a fix before the fight started, because I'm that self-conscious about it. It's a real problem for me.
Can't fight nature, though.
I've looked into the hair restoration, where they take the hair from the back of your neck and they plant it into your forehead. My buddy Brian Bickle had it. He looks great now. He looks really, really good. No, he got sponsored by him. And so I think I don't know if they must have given him the procedure for free and gave him some money on the side, but yeah. And then all over Chicago, Brian Urlacher has billboards everywhere about how he's had it done. He looks fantastic now. Wayne Rooney had it done. I think, you know, in a few years, once the technology gets easier, it's going to be like LASIK, where I can just go in and ding, ding, ding.
I just pulled up the video of you fighting Bull Duke, and you see the nice fingers through the hair while you guys are squaring off.
Both sides. I go up both sides, muscle, rustle, tussle the hair, and pull it down. Because it's just, I have the widow's peak, and it's not something I'm proud of.
I don't know that he even got a punch in either.
No.
Beat the
bat. I was upset that he asked me to take my helmet off. I actually separated both of his shoulders that fight, and he was out for a while.
What?
I know. But I learned after the fact that he was going to be sent down potentially, so I did him a favor where he stayed up in the NHL the whole year because he was rehabbing, so I got him NHL money because I put him out for 3 months.
You're doing favors.
Yeah. I'm doing favors. That's the way I like to look at it. I got him some extra do-re-mi because of the fight. But anyways, all of this is because I saw myself in the mirror and I just felt sorry for myself. Playing the victim again. It's my favorite thing to do. But anyways, the reason why we're here is because of all the feedback we got from Tim and his propaganda talk from last week.
Not propaganda talk. I stand by almost every word I said.
So for those of you who didn't listen to last week, I don't know why you wouldn't listen, but Tim was talking about baloney about
the Nazi sympathizer.
Yes. Nailed it right on the head, John. Yeah.
No.
Did you do any reenactments this weekend?
I did not.
Did you talk to your unit?
I showed the podcast to my buddy. He said he was crying laughing.
Oh, listening. That's so funny.
Yeah. But I got an email from somebody, though.
Ooh.
Yeah, so on the episode, again, go back and listen if you haven't yet, but we're talking about Canadians during D-Day, and John said they took Juneau Beach, which, of course, they did, and then jokingly tripped back that it was the easiest beach. Which it was not, of course. It was a steep uphill climb, and obviously all those guys are heroes. But that was just my quick-witted comeback. And then someone sent me an email on Friday of last week, and the subject line is Juneau, name of the beach. And he said, this is from Russell Heather, the easiest beach is whatever beach your mom is on.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And then he goes, and we'll take that one, too.
Oh, no, Russell. You don't mess with Juneau Beach.
Kudos to you, Russell. You got me good there.
That just goes to show you, the Canadians.
Those Canadians, not as nice as they seem.
No. Well, when you insult our history, all the brave soldiers who died on Juneau Beach, and you're just like throwing it off like it was nothing, you know.
I guess I deserve that, huh?
We tend to get a little upset about that. But anyways, moving on. I just thought we actually did talk about Tim's stuff all weekend. It was really nice. He kept sending me pictures of himself in full uniform, looking very strapping, if I might add. Like really, really good. I'll tweet something out of Tim and his full ensemble, because it's actually impressive. I was blown away. That didn't look like World War II garb. It looked like present day war stuff you had on.
It's all authentic World War II stuff.
Is.
Some repro, some original.
It looked really good. So I'll tweet that out. Larry, tweet that out for me. I listen to a couple of podcasts, and they always have the guy who does the host. He's always like, says to somebody off, tweet that out first. Put that on our Twitter page. So I'm going to try to do that now. Larry, tweet that picture out of Tim looking hot. Thanks. Anyways, okay. So the reason, big weekend in sports. I was in Toronto over the weekend, and it was just, the city was buzzing. Leafs had won the first game. Everyone was already planning the parade. It's funny, before the game, everyone thought, oh, the Bruins are going to roll over them again. It's going to happen. They're going to lose. Then they win the first game, and all of a sudden, the parade route, we're going to go down Young. We're going to go Bay to Bloor. We're going to finish up at Ontario Place. It's going to be great. And now, game two. Did they really think the Bruins were going to roll over and let them have it?
I hope not.
Because it was like when you and your brother are in the backyard and your little brother wins the first game because the big brother wasn't trying or he was just distracted. And the little brother, you know, talks a little trash and the big brother goes, okay, you know what? Enough is enough.
Things don't end well for the little brother.
No. And the big brother in game two, he came in and he put the boots down and they just battered Toronto up and down the ice. It was a clinic of how to impose your will on a team, like literally up and down the ice.
I'm not sure if Matthews was a healthy scratch or not, but I didn't notice him the entire night.
For two straight seasons, he's been non-existent. I don't know what is going on. If the Bruins are just doing a good job keying on him, but he has been a non-factor. Like he's their top guy. He's got to get it going. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It's not like the Bruins have great defensemen. They have a good system, but they don't, like, Krug is not a good defensive shutdown D-man. Chara's best years are behind him. Like, they don't really have that one guy who you can just say, go get Matthews. I don't know what it is. I don't really know what it is. They've been keying on him. They've been physical on him and everybody. And the reason I wanted to talk, I'm sure everyone's heard Sean Avery's comments about the game. He sent out this Instagram video during the game, I believe, and he was making these comments about DeBrusk. Is DeBrusk's first name Jake?
Yep, Jake DeBrusk.
Jake DeBrusk, I thought, had a great game. Physical player, controlled the puck well, did the things you need to do to win in the playoffs. He's going around throwing his weight around like he should. They're the big bad Bruins for a reason. And you're playing a skill team. How do you beat skill? You lean on them. You put the puck in the corner and you go and drill them. That's how you beat a skill team. And that's what the Bruins did. And Jake DeBrusk led the way. So anyways, his big issue, Avery gets on Instagram and just goes on this rant about Jake DeBrusk, how dirty the hit was, how doing it to a 20-year veteran, it was an embarrassment. The only thing that was wrong was that Kadri didn't take his whole top teeth out. And I'm watching this, and I was okay with how he talked about the Islanders fans. Obviously, he didn't do it eloquently, and it was a little crass, but I didn't agree with the Islanders fans, you know, getting on John Tavares, but I couldn't disagree with this guy more. And it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. What do you think?
He's just making noise, really. He's just trying to get a little chatter going for him to put his name out there, I think. I don't even know if he believes what he's saying. You know what I mean? Like, especially the kind of player that he was to call out that kind of stuff. Pocket'll black.
Yeah. You know, don't throw stones if you live in a glass house. And he's got a glass mansion. Glass jaw probably too. Because it irked me. Because I know Patrick Marleau quite well. You know, we played together. We're good buds. And it was a fine hit. It was a clean hit. Obviously, it brings back memories of Pacioretty and Chara. And the reason the rounded glass is there is because of that issue. Marleau bounced right up. Like, it wasn't even an issue to him. He is a professional. He's not a baby. He's not going to stay down and whine like these kids do these days. They do the soccer player thing where they're trying to draw a penalty, and then Kadri comes in to defend him, and instead of being a man about it and challenging somebody or actually finishing a check, he comes in stick high and cross checks him right in the face, and it's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
It was like in slow motion too, because you can see like that thought, the engine's turning in his head. It wasn't a reactive thing where he just reached out and like protected his buddy. He was like skated across the ice. He moved his hand down the shaft to be able to get good leverage, and he was like, put all the time into
it. It was premeditated. Yeah. It was 100% premeditated. He's got a hearing today. Yeah. I bet you the results of the hearing should be later on, like in a couple hours. I think he'll get 3-4 games, just like last year. and the Leafs will lose. It's a shame because Kadri's a good player. He does his job well. He's physical. He's skilled. He's the type of player I usually like. But then he does stuff like this, and he whines and complains. And it's just like, come on, man. Play the game.
Well, I mean, talk about the burden it puts on his team, too. Because, first of all, he's like you said, he's a good player. He contributes. Scored the only goal the other night for them. So they're losing that. But also, it jumbles their lines a little bit now. They just released a line. So Nylander is skating third-line center now instead of being on the wing.
Really?
But everything just gets bumped around because of him being out of the lineup, which hurts the team big time, obviously.
So they've already been practicing with him out of the lineup. They assume he's done.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, it's too bad. He'll be out, I think, the next three, maybe four. He's a repeat offender. If it was me, I would be gone the rest of the playoffs because that's just the type of player I was. But anyways, I thought that was interesting. They got a series now. It's one of the more interesting series, which is great because there's a lot of series that what is happening? What is going on with the East? I don't get it. The Bruins leave. It's unbelievable. Tampa, I knew they weren't going to win the Cup. We talked about it before. No one's afraid to play Tampa. But first round, down three to the eighth seed.
Two of those games at home. They look like they've never skated together before.
They played nine periods. I think Columbus has outplayed them eight, maybe nine periods. It's crazy.
Top to bottom. It's crazy.
It's one of those things where, do you blow the team up like Tampa? They just obviously don't have that playoff killer instinct. It's embarrassing. You win 62 games in the regular season. You can't get up for a playoff game. I don't know. Like, they dominated the Metro Division, during the season. I think they were 25-3 in their division. And they beat Columbus 3-0 this year. Like, they mopped the floor with Columbus. Kucherov had, I think, 8 or 9 points in three games. It's unbelievable.
Well,
that
a
speech.
Weeks ago, Columbus, like 2 weeks ago, fighting for a playoff spot. Tortorella's fighting for his job, and now they're about to shut down. They're one of the best teams of all time. And if this ends up happening, it's a sweep. Even if they don't sweep, it's still going to be one of the biggest implosions of all time from an NHL franchise.
Oh, absolutely. For a team that they've built their team for the next 2 or 3 years to win the Cup, and they've just fallen flat on their face the last few years. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. John? John's doing other work. He totally checks out when we're doing hockey talk. It's so funny. He's literally checking emails. It's great.
I got a to-do list.
He's got stuff to do. I get it. It's so great. But it's just interesting. I think Tampa hopefully wins a couple in the next two games. But it's amazing. If you were at the start of the playoffs, if you were to say Tampa's gone, Pittsburgh is gone, like what are the odds of that? Going into the second round, you're going to have Columbus, the Islanders, Washington will probably make it in, and then Bruins or Leafs. That's a toss-up. But what did I say? Islanders, Capitals, second round. It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be great. Trotsky.
Looking that way.
Let's just go to that series. All the talent in the world playing a team that plays like a team. I was watching a couple of interviews last night, Johnny Boychuk, ex-Bruin, and it's so refreshing to see an interview where he doesn't pump his own tires. He doesn't talk about how great he is. He literally just said, if we don't play the way we're supposed to play, we lose every game. It was very simple. It's a guy who's been there before. He's a vet. And he's like, listen, we have a good game plan. We're not the most skilled team in the world, but we play like a team. And Trott said it when Tavares left. Everybody thought it was the end of the Islanders. We're done. And he calmly came to the podium. He said, listen, John Tavares is not the New York Islanders. Like, we still have a team. Like, he is not our team. And they went out. They won 48 games, seventh seed. Fourth seed, were they? Probably the fourth seed.
Third or fourth.
Yeah, and now, look, they're up three on the Pens. And the Pens, Crosby, Matthews, where's Crosby been? 0 points. Non-existent. It's unbelievable.
It's
unusual
funny. For him, too. He'll turn it on, I would think.
Yeah.
But
he's been playing well. Like, he's been getting chances, but last night he was -3, 0 points. They're just doing a job on him. I think it's so great. I love it. I think it's very fascinating that you can play as a team and you win rather than just rely on 2 or 3 or 4 good players to pull you through. It's great, Tim.
Have you ever been in a playoff series where you were down 3-0?
Yeah.
What's the mentality like? Do you guys start giving up?
You know, it's one of those things where, and I know it's cliche, but you literally have to say, okay, that's just, we don't want to get swept. Let's not get embarrassed. And you're usually at home because you're usually the away team. And said, let's just get back. So if I'm Pittsburgh, I say, let's just get back to the island. Let's just go play one more game. So we'll win this game. Let's just get back to the island. And then you do that. You win that first game and they go, okay, well, let's just get home. Let's play one more game at home. Then you win that. And then it's like, oh, well, you know what? It's 3-2. Anything can happen now. And then you kind of roll from there. We battled back to make it 3-3 and we lost game 7 in overtime. So thanks, Chris Campoli. Ugh. Unbelievable turnover. Anyways, I'm still not over it. So yeah, it's just literally one game at a time. That's the only way you can look at it, because if you try to do too much, like, oh, you know, we got to do this, it's just, you'll never win. So play that one game, because the team was up 3-0. They're starting to check out a little bit. They want to, you know, move on from this series and get to the next one. So the fourth game is the easiest game to win, I think, if you're down 3-0, for sure.
Pretty hard to sweep a team.
It's very hard, but it's even harder to come back from 3-0. So I think both those teams, Tampa's done, Penguins are done. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. Tiger Woods, the Masters, another big event that happened this weekend. And I was just sucked into it. And the only reason was because Tiger. The last few years, I didn't really get into it, you know, whatever. There wasn't really that much excitement. There wasn't much buzz surrounding the event. This year, everywhere I looked, newspapers, my phone, TVs, radio, everybody was talking about the Masters. And it got me to thinking, which I do a lot, constantly thinking. And who in the NHL brings that kind of swag, that kind of personality, that kind of buzz? Because when Tiger's there, you know, they talked about how many spectators are there on a usual Masters. Then it almost doubles when Tiger's there. It's incredible. And I was just thinking, well, who would I want to go see in the NHL? Who would I pay to go watch, or who would I seek out? Okay, that guy's playing. I'm going to watch that game for sure because that guy's playing. And I know it's different because they play 82 games in a season, and Tiger, it's a major event. But is there anybody in the NHL who is that exciting, who has that je ne sais quoi about them?
Whoa.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Is that because you studied French in school?
I did study French.
Oui.
So who has it? I don't know. I don't think anybody does. I know the one guy who I thought of was Jagr. I thought he was the one guy who had that kind of machismo. It's like, he's cool. He doesn't have to say anything. He just looks cool. I would go and watch him playing a game. And it's sad. The NHL is so, the players are so just robots. And then Tim brought up Connor McDavid. He'd be the perfect guy because he is fast. He scores a lot. He's on like a Canadian team. He'd be perfect. Everything about him looks sexy and like great until you get him in front of a mic. And it's just like, hey, no, hockey's really fun. I enjoy it. I really, really like it.
It's so like templated, right? All their responses, you know what they're going to say. The beat writers just have to get something out of them. So after every game, no matter who you talk to, you get the same thing. Like, oh, the boys just got to play better. Got to get the pucks deep. Just got to cycle the puck better. Shots on net. And we'll be better tomorrow. Every single interview.
Who was that?
That was Bergeron, but that was kind of anyone you could ask.
That was 95% of the league. There's a couple guys. I like Ryan Reeves. He speaks his mind a little bit. But it's just, you know, I'll leave it at this. I think the NHL needs a little bit more personalities, a little bit more life to get the people engaged in the games. I think it's nice when you know a person's personality. I know it's hard to do. You don't want to give away too much or insult anybody. I know, especially nowadays, the culture is just so PC. It's almost to the point where I get nervous sometimes talking on this, where I'm going to insult somebody. It's like, oh no, what did I say last week? Am I going to get an email?
You talked about Hitler. You talked about the Nazis.
I know. It's like, what? I'm sure I insult people every single podcast. It's like, man, oh man. Like, just like, come on, everybody. Like, lighten up a little bit. And I think that's the issue with society. This could go into another rant of an hour and a half where I'm it just irks me.
Society.
Yeah, right? It's gone almost too far to it's swayed too far the other way, where I think there's a happy medium where people can, you know, say things and people don't get insulted, or I'm going to sue you, I'm going to do this, so, you know, you hurt my feelings. Like, come on, man. Like, let's go. Be a grown up. You know, not, you don't have to be insulted by everything. It's like, and it's like, ugh, whatever. I think hockey needs that. It was nice to see Tiger. Not that he says anything outrageous, but he just, like, it was just cool to see him and have that buzz back at the Masters. And it is funny. 5 years ago, everyone hated him. And now all of a sudden he's back. He had all these struggles with his health and everything. And is he going to find his game? Is he going to beat Jack Nicklaus's record? And it just, I think people grabbed onto that where he was, you know, struggling. Okay, we're on Tiger's side again. It's nice. It's nice. It's nice to see that kind of engagement. And hockey needs that. Come on, Connor, Austin Matthews. I guess Ovi has a little bit of a personality.
Ovi would be the closest one, I think, for me.
But yeah.
There's no one really close to Tiger, though.
No, it's not like back in the day where the players, they do an interview, they'd be smoking a cigarette, and they just shooting from the hip. They didn't really care because there was no internet. There was no, like, Associated Press. There was no instant, you know, instant news everywhere. You would have to read it in the paper, and maybe it went to another market. Maybe. Nowadays, you say one thing, it's all over the world in 5 seconds. It's amazing. So, I don't know, whatever. I'm just venting. You know what grinds my gears? The internet. Anyways.
Are we still talking about Tiger Woods?
I don't know, whatever.
You want to see Tiger Woods in the NHL? Is that what you're saying?
No, I would love to see it. He'd be exciting. He'd bring in a lot of swag to the game. But anyways, it should be an exciting week of hockey. We'll see some teams get eliminated. Hopefully a couple teams come back, make it interesting. I think the next time we talk, the Bruins will be up 3-1, hopefully. And we'll go from there.
That's the plan.
That's the plan, baby. Not that I'm a Bruins fan. I just want the Leafs out. Does that make me a bad guy? Maybe. Maybe in Toronto. Who knows? And I'll see you in Toronto next week. No. Anyways, everybody, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Hope you guys like the podcast. We'll see you soon. Dropping the Gloves with John Scott. Peace.